Hey everybody, welcome to Mount Olive Church Online. So glad you joined us today as we continue in our series, The Psalms of Ascent, A Journey to God. Now the Psalms of Ascent are a cluster of 15 psalms that were not written as the Psalms of Ascent, but became known as the Psalms of Ascent because these were the group of psalms that Jewish pilgrims would recite or sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the great festivals at least three times a year. And what we see in the Psalms of Ascent is that they cover a lot of the key aspects, the key attributes of what it looks like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a follower of God. And it touches on a broad range of life experiences. It kind of just covers everything. And we see that very clearly between last week's psalm and today's psalm. Last week was all about the blessed life, the happy life, the fortunate life. And we learned how we could live in that blessed life. Well, today we're going to the very opposite end of the spectrum, an end of the spectrum none of us really want to experience. Today we're going to talk about what a life when it isn't all that right. Life when it isn't all that right. Today we're going to talk about injustice and we're going to talk about oppression. You know, we get really, we get upset when things aren't right, right? And rightfully so. We get upset when things aren't right, when there's things out in the world that we see is just not just, it's not right, it's not fair. There's something in us that just gets upset, but we get really upset when things aren't right for us. Now, we may overlook some injustices in the world, but we rarely overlook the injustices in our world. We get really upset when things aren't right for us, when things aren't right for my family, when things aren't right for my clan, for my tribe, for my race, when things aren't right for my school, when things aren't right for my area of living, my career, my job, whatever it is. We get really upset when things aren't right for us. And the reason is this: injustice and oppression are always the result of a misuse of power. Injustice and oppression are always the result of a misuse of power. And when someone or when power is used over and against someone, we all cry foul, right? When power is used over and against someone, in fact, this is what oppression is. Every time oppression occurs, it's because someone has used power over and against someone. And that causes us to cry foul, especially when someone uses power over and against us. And we were born this way. We were born with a sense that there needs to be fairness and justice. And we see this exactly true in kids. If you're a parent, you know this is true of your kids. As a parent, I often hear my kids come up and they call out for justice. Now, they'll never use the word justice, but you know, they'll just call out and say, "Dad, you know, my brother, he stole this," or my brother hit me," or "my sister, you know, said some words about me." In essence, what they're saying is someone used power over and against me, and I'm calling out foul. This isn't right. They should be put in the penalty box, right? There should be some discipline here. And we, when power is used over and against someone, we all cry foul. It's something that we just push against, and rightfully so. But responding to injustice, responding to this, responding to oppression is very, very tricky. It's very, very difficult. And here's why. Especially responding to personal injustice. And here's why it's so tricky. Because we get really upset when things aren't right for us. And because we get so upset when things aren't right for us, we are rarely just in our call for personal justice. We are rarely just in our call for personal justice. Whenever we call for personal justice, we get skewed. Our vision gets skewed by our own pain and our own oppression and the difficulty that we're in, that we rarely just call for justice. We always go a little bit further. This is true again of kids. You know, when my kids come and say, "Hey, Dad, I just want you to set things right," they never just want things to be fair. They always go a little further, right? It's like, make him give the toy back and punish him, right? Discipline him. I don't just want you to make things fair. I want retribution. I want revenge, because it's so personal. It's so in us, and the pain is so raw that when we call for personal justice, it is rarely just. Almost always when we fight for our own justice, almost always what happens when we fight for our own justice, the oppressed become the oppressor. The oppressed become the oppressor because we don't just want justice. We don't want things just to be fair. We want them to pay. We want revenge. We want retribution. And so we are rarely just in our call for personal justice. So how do we live in this world of injustice? We all experience it. We all experience oppression. We all get upset when things aren't right for us. And at some time, someone is going to use power over and against us. We see it in the world. It happens all the time in big things. We see oppression in the sense of human trafficking, abuse, physical, sexual, verbal abuse. We see it in manipulation. We see it in gossip. We see it in slander. It's all power used over and against someone. We all experience this. So how do we journey through life? And how do we respond in godly ways in the difficult challenge of facing oppression and injustice in this life? Well, Psalm 129 wades into those murky waters, those waters that are so unclear for so many of us as we walk in our own pain of being oppressed. And what you'll find, and I think what we'll find in Psalm 129 when he speaks about oppression and injustice, is that the psalmist doesn't go as far as we wish he would go. And yet at the very same time, he's gonna say some things that, especially those of us that are Christians, we're gonna wonder, wait, are we allowed to go that far? Can we actually say that? And I think we'll be surprised. We'll be a little frustrated, especially if you're in the middle of oppression right now. You'll be frustrated. And you may even wonder, are we allowed to go that far? So let's dive into Psalm 129 and see what the psalmist says about how we face oppression, how we face injustice as it comes to us. The psalmist says this. He says, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. They have greatly oppressed me. And when he says greatly, he doesn't just mean the severity of the oppression. Actually, we're going to see later, it is quite severe. But what he means in this first part is the amount of times, the quantity of the oppression. It just happens over and over and over again. It's just oppression after oppression. And the psalmist says, it's happened from youth. And then he says this, and it gives us a little bit of a hint of who he's talking about. He says, let Israel say. This isn't only a personal psalm, it could be a personal psalm, but he's speaking of the entire nation of Israel. And if you know the story of the nation of Israel, you know that this is so, so true. They have faced oppression after oppression, and it began from their youth. It began from the very beginning. In fact, the nation of Israel was actually born into a nation in slavery, under oppression. The first almost 400 years of the nation's existence was under oppression. It was in oppression. It was in slavery. And then God came and he delivered the Israelites from their oppressive slave owners, the Egyptians, and they were led to the promised land. But in the promised land, they still faced oppression. You know, the Midianites came and oppressed them, and the Amalekites came and oppressed them, and the Moabites oppressed them, and the Philistines oppressed them. And then years later, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians would come and oppress them. It was just oppression after oppression after oppression. And this is their story. But this was not the end of their story. And the psalmist says this next. He says, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but that's not the end of the story. They have not gained the victory over me. Yes, we were oppressed, but we were not destroyed. We were oppressed, but we were not destroyed. We did not fold our hand. We did not throw in the towel. We did not cave under the pressure. We endured. They did not gain the victory over me. You know, one of the key aspects of discipleship, one of the key characteristics of following Jesus is endurance. It's the ability to stand steadfast, to remain strong. The journey of following Jesus, the Christian life, is not for the weak. It's for the strong, but it's for the strong who are strong in the Lord. It's those who are strong in the Lord. And he says, I didn't throw in the towel. I remained strong. I endured. We endured. We remained steadfast. Another word for this would be the word stick-to-itiveness, to stick with it. And this is what the psalmist is describing. They did not gain the victory. We stuck to it. We didn't throw in the towel. We stuck to it. We remained steadfast. And then the psalmist starts to describe for us some of the oppression, the brutality of the oppression that they faced. And he says this. He says, plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. He describes it in this vividly, vivid way, you know, plowman. Imagine there's this, in those days they had oxen tied to a plow and the plowman behind. Imagine them just making furrows on your back, these deep trenches as they go back and forth, creating these deep trenches, these furrows in your back. And the psalmist says, this is the pain that we received. This is the oppression that we were under. It was severe. But just as he did in verse 1 and 2, he said, we were oppressed, but this isn't the end of the story. They didn't gain the victory. Here also he says, they've plowed our back. They've plowed my back and they've inflicted pain, but that's not the end of the story. And he says this, he says, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. The Lord is righteous, meaning not only is the Lord right in what he does, but he is relationally right. He has been righteous to me. When I was under oppression, when I was experiencing injustice, God came along and he was right towards me. And the way he was right is he cut me free from the cords of the wicked. Going back to the analogy he'd used earlier of the plowman plowing furrows on your back, imagine now God came and he cut the cords that tied the plow to the oxen. And you know, all these things that the evil, oppressive people wanted to do to make furrows, now the oxen are trotting back and forth, but the plow stands still. All their plans for oppression have been cut, and the Lord has done this. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. God showed up and he set us free. He was just. He was right towards me. You know, it's interesting in this psalm, not only to look at what the psalmist says, but also what the psalmist doesn't say. And it's interesting as we read this psalm, the first four verses, and you can read the rest of the psalm, at no point does the psalmist say, I was under oppression and there was a strong power over me, but I stood up and I fought for what was right and I gained justice and I gained fairness and I conquered them. At no point do we see that in the psalm. At no point do we see that in the psalm, but here's the truth. All of us who have experienced oppression, when we've experienced slander or gossip or manipulation, when we've experienced lies against us, when we've experienced abuse of any kind, the misuse of power, oppression, when we've experienced it, our tendency is to go and fight for justice, to fight for personal justice. And yet the psalmist doesn't include that. The psalmist doesn't include that we fight for personal justice. He says there's another way. Because when we fight power with power and we overcome the power that was oppressing us, we simply now have become the oppressive power. And what good is that? And the psalmist says there's another way, not to fight and gain justice for ourselves, but rather the psalmist is saying this. He's saying, allow the oppressive power of God or allow the oppressive power of others to meet the power of God. Allow the oppressive power of others to meet the power of God. Another way of saying this is this: let God fight for you. Let God bring about justice. It's God who cuts the cords. It's not us who cuts the cords. It's us looking to God and trusting him to be righteous, to be right to us, toward us, and cut the cords of the wicked. Allow God, allow the oppressive power of others to meet the very power of God. You know, I told you earlier in the message that there was going to be a part of this psalm that you're going to say, that just doesn't quite go far enough. And it's going to leave you a little frustrated. And if you're in the middle of oppression right now, where someone is using power over and against you, this does not go far enough. And I'm sure there's a piece of you and maybe all of you that's saying right now, I don't think so. I tried that. I waited on God. He did not come through, not in the timing I wanted and not to the extent I wanted. I still need retribution. I still need vengeance. And there's a piece of you that says, this doesn't go far enough. I can't leave it in God's hands. I need to go and fight for what I can get. But the psalmist says, don't. Let God fight for you. Trust in him. But I also mentioned to you earlier that there would be a part of this psalm that maybe goes a little further than you thought we were allowed to go, especially if you're a follower of Jesus. And that's what the psalmist says in the second half of the psalm, the last four verses of the psalm. The last four verses of the psalm are, he lists some imprecations, which is a really fancy word of kind of disguising, it's spoken curses. He kind of speaks some curses. And maybe you're like, wait a second, I've read parts of the Bible, at least I read one part of the Bible that said, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. So why does the psalmist speak these spoken curses, these imprecations on those that were oppressing him? Well, I'll reconcile that, I think, for you and for us a little bit later, reconciling what the psalmist says and what Jesus says later. But first, we have to look at what these imprecations are and what the psalmist actually says. Here's what he says. He says, may all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. Now, Zion was, at that time, was the very city of God. It was the place where God dwelt. His presence was there. It represented the people of God, where they would come to. I mean, in essence, what the psalmist is saying is, may all those who hate God and hate his ways and hate his people be turned back in shame. The picture is this, that not that they would walk with pride saying, ha, we accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish, but rather that they would be turned back, that all of the things they had hoped to do, they would be turned back in shame, saying it didn't work out the way we'd planned, that they would be turned back in shame. And then he describes in the next two verses a picture of what this might look like, that their plans would be undone. He says, may they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can even grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. You know, in the Middle East, in ancient times, their roofs were flat. And there would be a thin layer of dirt that would accumulate on the roof. And sometimes what would happen is seeds would get blown by the wind onto the roof. And these little grasses or crops, they would try to grow. But there was such a thin layer of dirt in a hot desert climate like Palestine is. By midday, I mean, this little seedling that's trying to grow, it would just be completely withered. It would be completely scorched by the sun. And what the psalmist is saying is, may the plans of the wicked in their oppressive plans, may they be like these grasses that didn't even get a chance to grow. May their plans not come to fruition. Just like a farmer would go and say, well, I've got nothing here. There's nothing that's been produced. It didn't accomplish anything. There's nothing here to reap. That's what the psalmist is saying. May all those who hate Zion, may all those who hate God, who come with evil plans to bring oppression, use power over others, may be turned back in shame. May all their plans fall through and not one come to fruition. And then the psalmist closes this psalm by saying, may those who pass by, and this is kind of comical, I think, but may those who pass by not say to them, the blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. There appears to be a kind of common greeting in ancient Israel. And we see this a little bit in Ruth chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, where harvesters, as they would meet each other along the road, they would give this kind of just common greeting. Hey, the Lord bless you. Hey, bless you in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you. And it's just kind of, we wish good things in your future. We wish good things for you. And in essence, what the psalmist is saying is that may those who pass by not say, may good things happen. May the Lord be on your side. May blessing be in your future. Because of their oppressive plans, the psalmist in essence is saying, well, I don't want good things to happen to bad people. I don't want to see the wicked prosper. And if you've ever been under oppression of any kind, I think you would agree with the psalmist with these imprecations, these curses, you could say, and saying, I hope their plans don't work out. And I hope that that good things don't come of their plans, that the Lord isn't with them, that they are turned back in shame. You know, I think this psalm shows us the realness of walking in a real world. And the rawness, the emotional rawness we all feel. And as the psalmist speaks these imprecations, I think he's just being honest with himself. And I think if you and I have faced real oppression, we would speak these same things. It's just what comes out, because it's like, I don't want them to prosper. I don't want good things to come to them because they have been so oppressive. I hope they are turned back in shame. You know, the other question we asked earlier is, how do we reconcile these imprecations with Jesus' teaching in the New Testament, where he said, bless and do not curse. Love your enemies and pray for those who curse you. How do we reconcile these two teachings? Well, it's interesting when you look at the imprecations that the psalmist gives. At no point does he say, I hope you burn in, you can probably finish that. I hope that you get cancer and you suffer. There is nothing personal in the curses that he puts on the people. Rather, he curses their plans. He asks that their plans don't come to fruition, that all the things that would make them walk in pride, saying, look what we did, they would be turned back in shame. And so in that sense, I think we can reconcile the two teachings in the sense that you could love your enemies, but not hope that their plans succeed, their plans against you. You could pray for those who persecute you, but still not hope that their oppression would come through. You can love your enemies, but then still say, God, I don't want their plans to come through. Would you turn them back in shame? And I think in this way, it reconciles Jesus' teaching of loving your enemies, but the honesty and the real life struggle that we face, saying, I don't want them to succeed. I don't want them to succeed. And the truth is, neither does God. He is a God of justice as well. You know, so, there's a challenge for us. As followers of Jesus, there's a challenge for us. How do we walk in the tension of injustice and oppression in this world? How do we respond in the ways of God? And Psalm 129 gives us another way to respond. It shows us another way to overcome. And the psalmist tells us that we overcome simply when we endure. And we endure as we trust in God who is right toward us. We endure, we overcome when we endure, and we endure when we trust God who is right toward us. We don't endure simply because we conquered those who came to conquer us. Because when we conquer those who came to conquer us, then simply we have become the oppressors. But rather, the psalmist says that we endure, we overcome when we let God cut the cords of the wicked, when we let God set us free. When we try to cut the cords ourselves, we are never level-headed. We are rarely just in our call for personal justice. And so we release the need to get justice. And we say, God, would you be right? And I pray that you would give me strength to endure, to not throw in the towel, to stand firm in you, to stand firm in you. You know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Rome who experienced great oppression, Christians who experienced great injustices. And you know that he says the exact same thing the psalmist writes in Psalm 129. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Don't fight power with power. Don't fight fire with fire, or the fire has won. Don't fight evil with evil, or you've given in to evil. You will not be able to say with the psalmist, they have not gained the victory. The moment you give in to retaliation, the moment you give in to anger and vengeance, you've given in and they have gained the victory. Evil has won because evil has gotten inside of you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't fight power with power. But rather, he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And I think this is really important because our vision gets skewed of where the fair line is when we're in the middle of pain and oppression. That he says, do what's right in the eyes of everyone, not just what's right in your own eyes. Because when you're in the middle of it, what's right in your eyes is rarely, rarely just. And I think this is why scripture so often, both the Old Testament and New Testament, calls us as followers of God to stand up for the cause of the oppressed, to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, because we are disconnected emotionally and we have a better idea of what's right. In that sense, it's a good thing to bring a third party when we're seeking justice, to bring a third party who's disconnected emotionally, who can stand up and say, here's what's right. Don't just do what's right in your eyes. Do what's right in the eyes of everyone, the eyes of everyone. And he goes on, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I love this picture that he gives, this picture of leaving rooms for God's wrath. You know, the moment we step in and we say, I need to get retribution. I need them to pay. I need to avenge what's been wronged and the oppression that someone put on me. The moment we step into that room, we've taken God's spot. That's God's spot. It's his job to bring about, it's his job to avenge. And it's almost like we're getting in the way of God doing his job. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, it's God who cut the cords of the wicked. It's not our job to go and cut the cords. It's God's job to cut the cords. And that's what Paul says. Make room for God. Make room for God. Make room for God's wrath. He will avenge. It's just as we saw earlier. Allow the oppressive power of others to meet the strong arm of God. Allow the oppressive power of others. Don't get in the way, but allow it to meet the power of God. Let God fight for you. And then the psalmist, or the apostle Paul continues, on the contrary, rather than fighting evil with evil, power with power, fire with fire, rather if your enemy's hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. This is responding. This is loving your enemies. It's not saying, I hope their plans all work out. Of course not. Their oppressive plans should not work out, but it's responding in love. And then Apostle Paul closes with this. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. Say with the psalmist, they have not gained the victory over me. They've not gained the victory. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we overcome when we endure, and we endure as we trust in God. As we trust in God, who is right toward us. He will be right. He is a righteous God, and he will set things straight for you. I don't know what you're facing right now. Maybe you're in the middle of oppression, and maybe it's physical abuse and abuse of power. Oppression is always the power that someone uses over and against someone else. And maybe you're sensing that right now. Maybe it's gossip and someone speaking against you and using the power they have. Maybe it's manipulation. Maybe it's your own race and racism, whatever it is. There's this sense that we want to go and gain our own personal justice. And we want to fight. And if we sat across the table and you asked me, what should I do, Pastor Elvin? Here's what I would tell you, and I've told this to many, many people as they've faced oppression, kind of two things I would tell you. I would say, would you learn to endure? Would you look for God to come through for you? Let him bring about justice for you. And here's what I've seen over and over and over again, that God always does. And sometimes there's some cases that in this life he doesn't. But God, we're told in scripture, he is the judge of the living and the dead, and we will all face his judgment for every action we've taken. And so God will set things straight, but even in this life, so often I've seen that God set things right, that lies are shown for what they are, gossip is shown for what it is, slander is shown for what it is. As you continue to do what's right and endure and not throw in the towel, but stick to it. Stick to your faith in God and continue to trust him that God will be right towards you. And the second thing I would tell you is that some of you right now are in an oppressive situation that you need to get out of. It's a situation that you need to get out of. And there's a temptation for you to go and fight for your rights. But we rarely are just in our call for personal justice. It is almost impossible when we're in the middle of pain to really see where the fair line is. So what I would say to you is if you need to get out of an oppressive situation, bring some people alongside you. Do not fight for your justice alone. Allow others to fight for you. And maybe that's bringing in some leadership in the church. We have a government system that is built this way to bring in the law and let them decide where the fair line is. But here's what I almost guarantee you, if you're in the middle of that pain and injustice, wherever they decide the line is, I almost guarantee you it won't go far enough for you because you're in the middle of that pain and we rarely see where justice truly lies. And even if others fight your battle for you, you'll still have to endure. You'll still have to trust God for his justice and trust him to do what is right. So I encourage you, would you? Would you endure? Would you endure? I want to say to those of you that are in the middle of a deeply oppressive situation that I think God has a special place in his heart for you. All throughout scripture, God had a special place in his heart for the down and outers, for the widows and orphans who had no ability, no power, and others use their power over and against them. And if you're in an oppressive situation, I know it doesn't feel like it right now, but God has a special place in his heart for you, and he will make things right. Would you stand strong, stick to it, endure? That Christian aspect of discipleship, would you endure, not throw in the towel as you wait on God? And waiting on God is not a passing of time waiting. It is an aggressive waiting. It is aggressively trusting in the God who will make things right yet. So I don't know what you're facing. Maybe it's big injustice. Maybe it's small oppression. But whatever you're facing, would you endure? And by enduring, would you, and I know you will, when you endure, you'll be able to say with the psalmist, they have not gained the victory over me. And you'll be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord, he's right. And he's been right toward me. He has cut the cords of the wicked. May you be given strength to continue to stand. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your love. And God, even as we wrestle in a world that is not right yet, and there's so much abuse and misuse of power, and sometimes we're on the giving end, and sometimes we've been on the receiving end, and we've experienced that, and it's messy. This whole idea of justice and coming to a fair place when there's oppression, it is murky waters. And God, there's a tendency in us to want to fight. And God, I pray for those that are in the middle of injustice and oppression right now, that you would give them strength, that you would give us strength to endure, to not throw in the towel, but to continue to trust you, to trust that you will, just as the psalmist declared, you will be right toward us. So Father, I think that we already know what we are to do, but it's a hard message. It's a difficult message. It's a hard truth to live out. And we need reminders, and may this be a reminder that we would not repay evil with evil, but rather that we would leave room for your wrath, that we would let you be the one to set the record straight. So Father, would you give us strength to stand? And in the standing, we set our eyes solely on you, waiting for you to be right towards us. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.